Blog Talk Radio.
Turmoil fans, welcome to the show. QT and Sign Guy with you once again. And if you're looking for some wrestling today, you are in luck today. Do or Die Pro Wrestling happening in Indianapolis, Indiana, featuring the Pacific Northwest's own Sonico returning to that promotion. You also have Blue Collar Wrestling, where you can find me later today in Portland, Oregon. And in just a little while, Without a Cause Wrestling in Everett, Washington, featuring the debuts of TJP and Brian Pillman Jr. Lots of good wrestling out there. If there's some near you, go out, check out a show, and support your local independents. But without further ado, I want to welcome our guest today. He's making his debut with us here on Turnbuckle Turmoil today, all the way from the great state of Alaska. Stephen Wolf, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, since it is your first time with us, we're going to give you the traditional first-timers question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
I was just watching WWE and basically a fan-turned-wrestler.
What point was it when you were watching WWE and television and you decided that this was something that you could do yourself?
I've always been a physical person. I have a very high pain tolerance, and I just felt like I could do it.
Now, Alaska is unique in that there's not a ton of wrestling up there, especially at the time you were training to become a wrestler. There's not a lot of promotions like there is in other parts of the country. Like if you were to come down to the Northwest, you have 15 or 20 promotions within a 3-hour drive. It's not like the Northeast where there's hundreds of promotions within just a 2 to 3 hour drive. It's pretty isolated up there. Do you think that the isolation and the limited number of wrestlers and wrestling promotions made it easier for you becoming a wrestler, or do you think it made it a little bit harder?
Personally, I think it made it easier because you got to train with the other guys a whole lot more. You get to know what their strengths are, what they need help in, and you find out more about yourself too.
Since it is an isolated area and there's limited wrestlers, it's not like down here if someone got sick or they injured themselves right before a show, promoter can pick up a phone and he has multiple options to get a replacement. If someone gets sick or hurt in Alaska, how devastating is that to the local wrestling scene where all of a sudden you're a man down for a period of time?
It definitely hurts. It but it's not uncommon for Alaska wrestlers to do two four matches a show. So it's not really that harsh, because we were trained for the endurance to go two to four matches a show, but it just puts that more stress if someone doesn't show up.
Absolutely. I can totally see that. Everybody that gets into the wrestling business at some point is going to have the occasional injury. It's just the nature of the business. It happens to everybody. You've been around for a number of years now. What are some of the injuries that you've had to overcome?
Probably my worst injury from wrestling was a fractured toe, where the toe meets the foot. And other than that, the occasional cut and probably some sprained muscle.
Now, the obvious,
other than that,
for wrestling with a fractured toe like that, that's going to affect your balance in the ring. People may not appreciate the severity of an injury like that, but it can definitely throw off your balance. It can make it hard to step properly in the ring. It isn't the best injury to have when you're in the professional wrestling. Did you find yourself having to adapt with the fractured toe? Was it something that messed your timing and your footwork up a lot?
Not really. Like I said, I got a high pain tolerance, but it messed with my balance for a little bit, but just not as much as I would think it would cause other people.
Well, that's very fortunate, because I know people that have fractured their toes, and usually a balance is a bit wobbly for a while. Now, in the last couple of months, you recently made your lower 48 debut. You were with CPW in Marysville, Washington. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about what led you to them and how that experience went?
Actually, I was just going down there for a 3-2-1 battle, and YT Jones told me a little special announcement that he arranged it, that I would be in a match with CPW. And it was just a little battle royal, but made my first debut on an outside promotion. It was awesome.
You were in the battle royal that particular show, so you came across quite a few people, not only in the locker room, but also in the ring. When you're doing a battle royal like that, where there's guys that you don't necessarily know, you may not be familiar with most of the people there, what is the mindset going into that? How do you prepare for a battle royal like that against a number of guys you've not really come across, which is sort of the exact opposite if you were in a battle royal in Alaska, where you're going to know almost every single person?
Basically, my mindset was just follow the battle royal basics, just keep with strikes, a lot of exchanges back and forth.
As someone that was representing Alaska, did you also sort of keep an eye on the talent as far as potential people to bring into Alaska that you might go to a booker and suggest people?
Mainly the one main one that really stood out was J.D. Mason, and he's coming up here soon.
J.D. Mason, somebody I've known since he was a rookie, brand new to the sport. He's a great, great talent. What was it about J.D. that stuck out to you when you were in the Battle Royal with him?
Just how he presented himself and the way his mannerism was, and just and I could tell that the other people really respected him. So
definitely very well respected up here. Often he's found not only at CPW, but Northwest Pro and Reactivate Pro Wrestling here in Washington. He's been around for, it's going on 15 years now, actually.
Wow.
Now, a lot of the people that you were in the Battle Royal with were newer wrestlers. There were a lot of younger talents in the ring. I know things work differently in Alaska Pro Wrestling just because of the nature of it. But when you're in the ring and there's a lot of wrestlers that are much less experienced than you, is that sort of a unique situation for you? Are you used to being the guy with the least amount of years in, or was this something that you were comfortable with?
Just me being my character and the whole situation with the Battle Royal, that's my field in wrestling. I couldn't ask for a better introduction to another promotion.
Oh. In Alaska, like I said, there are limited people to pull from because just of the geography of things. You don't have a lot of places close where you can call and get someone in really quick on the fly. Not only wrestlers are scarce up there, but all of the auxiliary jobs, your ring announcers, your referees, your timekeepers, security. Do you think that the people in Alaska are more prone to learning all aspects of wrestling so they can step in and fill those roles when need be, just because they are at such a premium?
Yeah, it's always good to learn all of the aspects of the wrestling business, but If you really need to step up, then do it. But it's better to have a dedicated person for that, I feel.
I know in Alaska there's been some really good referees over the years up there. I refereed up there and saw a couple of good ones. I know there's others up there that have been very, very good. Who would you say has been some of the better referees that you've been in a ring with so far?
For referees, probably the top one would be YT.
I can definitely see that. For the fans listening that may not recall or have not heard, why Harry T. Pierre Jones started out as a referee before transitioning to manager.
Yep.
Now, why Perry T. Pierre Jones is someone that is down here in Washington a lot. He works for a large number of companies here in the state of Washington. He's here pretty frequently. He's also one of the few managers that you have in Alaska. There's not been a great number of them. Do you think Y period, T period Jones being one of the few managers in Alaska is what really helped build his name and help elevate him, since there wasn't a lot of competition for him to become one of the more elite managers?
Yeah, it's that, and also it's his love for the industry, and just the fact that he would went and actually did it. Where there's a lot of Alaska wrestlers here that's more like me, that's more home based, and I'm not actually like looking to go out of state, but if a promoter wants me, I'll go and do it. But where YT, he wants to go out and go places. I think that his drive is what made him such a great manager, to go outside.
He is definitely one of the top managers I've come across, and I've come across myself who's also managed. Now, also in Alaska, I'm presuming there are not a lot of people that make wrestling gear. I'm sure you have to be very diligent in who you get as a gear maker and make sure it's a situation where you're going to get the gear you need at the day and time that you need it and so forth. It's not like other places where there's multiple people making wrestling gear and you can go pick it up if need be. Who would you say is the best gear maker that you have come across? Maybe not necessarily that is based in Alaska, but someone that gets the gear to the people in Alaska when need be.
I can't really say. I've only ordered my gear through Elucha or High Spots, but I haven't replaced my gear in like 7 years that I've done this, and I'm just now starting to need to get new gear.
I will throw out the name Congo Kong to you, best gear man there is.
Noted.
Now, also in your career, there's been a few different promotions in Alaska during your time there. There's currently a couple of active promotions now, a couple of promotions that are not currently running. There was an all-ladies promotion in Alaska just recently. There's a promotion that runs Sullivan Arena in Anchorage sporadically. Is promoting wrestling something that you can see yourself doing at some point in time, or is that aspect not really something that you would consider doing?
Probably not. My view on wrestling is I'm the actor. I'm there to play the role, and I'll leave it up to someone else to tell me how they want to me to play the role.
Now, there's also the rule of booker, and booking wrestling is probably the hardest and most thankless job in professional wrestling. Not necessarily because you want to get into that role, but have you ever sat down with your bookers and tried to learn what it is they do, just to kind of get a feel for what they're doing and how you might be able to better help them at some point?
Again, not not really my field. Me personally, I feel that I should just show up, just do what I need to do, and that would be it.
Fair enough. Well, we have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Word Association. I will throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Sure.
All right, here we go. First name, Jerry Bishop.
The modern day classic. That's his nickname, and that's how he presented himself.
Why period T period Jones?
Probably the best in and out wrestler you could think of.
Phoenix Kid.
Hard hitting.
JT West.
My trainer, and probably the best one that I've heard of.
TJ Rocks.
The best emotion manager that I've come across of.
Freya the Slayer.
Power of a woman.
Brody Adams.
Probably one of the best Alaska wrestlers.
Calvin James.
Probably the best wrestler that I've come across of.
George Mack.
Don't know.
The last name, Max Steele.
Max Steele. Good times.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Stephen, I saw your YouTube video entitled RJ Griffin versus Stephen Wolf at the 4th Annual Boxcar Rumble. And when you made your entrance, the first thought that came to my mind was, he looks like Lemmy, the lead singer of the rock group Motorhead. Has anyone compared you to Lemmy of Motorhead?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, have you heard the song The Hammer of Motorhead's Ace of Spades album from 1980, the song The Hammer?
No, I haven't.
Well, Stephen, on the surface, this song is about a serial killer who violently targets women, but underlying the sentiment is perhaps something a little closer to home, as Lemmy warns of sinister individuals in positions of power who will mislead you into torment. My question is, would you consider this song, The Hammer, as your entrance music on a trial basis?
Maybe on a trial basis, but It doesn't sound like the aspect that I want.
I see. Well, there, wouldn't you agree that in Alaska wrestling, there are sinister individuals that will do anything to grab the gold and a title? Sinister individuals.
Actually, I was one of them.
Oh, well, all the more important, all the more, how would you say, relevant to have this song as your entrance music. Yes. Go ahead.
Like I said, I'm not quite sure what this song is, but for me, it's probably not.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you give it a try, and you can listen to it, and then get back to our staff at Turnbuckle Turmoil and see if we can maybe get a petition going to have the hammer as your entrance music. That's on.
Will do.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of which, were you a big fan of Motorhead?
I wasn't really a fan of that music until I started wrestling, but now I am. Yes.
Aha. Very good. Okay. Well, now, how about the song No Class from their 1979 album Overkill? No Class was just one of Motorhead's many songs dedicated to verbally dismantling the targets of Lemmy's disdain. This song has been covered by Megadeth, Orange Goblin, The Plasmatics, with lead singer Wendy O. Williams, and Kingdom of Sorrow. The song hinges on an opening riff that is classic and familiar and unmistakably Motorhead, in the same way as the opening riff of Iron Man has come to symbolize Black Sabbath. Now, would you consider this song after as your entrance music after listening to it, and get back with Turnbuckle staff member Dimitri about this?
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you have to listen to No Class and The Hammer by Motorhead. You've got a double assignment. and if you could get back to Dimitri about this will be very good. Yes. Dimitri.
Okay.
No clue. And you could also, if you're not in mood for Motorhead after you listen to the song The Hammer, and you don't want to listen to No Class, you could look at the YouTube video covered by the Plasmatics with Wendy O. Williams. If you had enough of Motorhead, that'd be a nice refreshing change. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, my next question is, were you at the first Boxcar Rumble? I know you participated in the fourth recently.
Yes. Yes, I was.
Have you been to all four?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Who did you face in the first Boxcar Rumble? And to the best of your recollection, when did the first Boxcar Rumble take place? Hello?
Hello. I can't actually remember that event. I just know that I was there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good enough. Okay. Do you remember if Y.T. Jones was at the first Boxcar Rumble?
Yes, he was.
Oh, okay. Do you know who he was managing then?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Steve, the ring you were in when you were wrestling R.J. Griffin at the 4th annual Boxcar Rumble had a solid red mat. That's rare in wrestling rings. However, in NCAA football, Boise State University has a solid blue turf, and Eastern Washington University has a solid red field. Have you yourself seen these non-green football fields?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Well, I'd rather not tack on another homework assignment. I think your YouTube video of the hammer and no class take precedence over looking up these football fields. I'm going to stick with Motorhead or Wendy O. Williams and the Plasmatics covering no class. Let's just forget about the football fields. Okay. Although that is a nice solid red mat that you wrestled on. Yes. It was nice. Okay. Well, Steve, was Jimmy Wang Yang a big influence on you? Jimmy Wang Yang?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, he was a huge influence on me. Yes. Very good. All right. Well, Steve, you said to Sign Guy earlier in the show that you had a high threshold of pain. My question is, could you tolerate a root canal treatment at a dentist without Novocaine?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. But you'd come close, pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that leads into my next question. Were you a big fan of WWF's wrestling character, Dr. Noah Yankum?
That was probably before my time.
Before your time? Okay. Okay, very good. Sure. Would you say, Steve, that... Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Would you say that you're a wrestling historian and you look up old YouTube videos?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Not at all. All right. Well, Steve, in the match with R.J. Griffin, the referee had on a solid gray shirt, which was long sleeve, and not your traditional zebra stripes. Do you recall who your referee was in your match with R.J. at the 4th Boxcar Rumble?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us the name of this referee?
I believe it was the new kid named Dylan. We call him Skids.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Steve, you took that loss against Mr. Griffin pretty hard. After the match and on the outside of the ring, you ran him into the ring post. My question is, were you fined a dollar amount for this?
Nope.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, you weren't. Okay. All right. Well, now, Stephen, on Friday, July 26th at 10 p.m. in Healy, Alaska, I have you booked, or I see that you are booked in an event called Up in Smoke. My question is, were you a big fan of Cheech and Chong's movie Up in Smoke?
I've actually never seen it.
What? You've never seen the all-time classic Up in Smoke?
Nope.
Wow. Well, okay. This takes precedence, I believe, over No Class from Motorhead off their 1970 album Overkill. Yes. But we would like you to complete that No Class video watching and get back to Dimitri. Just watched a clip of from Cheech and Chong's movie Up in Smoke first. Yes. Okay. Well, Steve, do you know if Y period T period Jones is on a frequent flyer program?
I don't know.
Okay, you don't know
so.
On. Yeah, so do I. I mean, if there's some way that you could hack into a computer and take his frequent flyer miles, that would be pretty nice for you. Yes. Maybe not for Y period,
yeah.
T period. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Steve, have you ever been ranked in the top 500 in Pro Wrestling Illustrated?
Nope.
What would you rather prefer, the number one ranking or the number 500 ranking?
Probably the 500.
500, very good choice, very good. All right. Well, Steve, are you aware of our Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Weekly Wrestler Rankings? Are you aware of these?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask, how much would it mean to you if you could be ranked in our weekly rankings? But right now, it probably doesn't mean too much. All I can say is that they create quite a bit of controversy, and the number one ranking is highly coveted, very highly coveted.
Yeah.
I think probably more so than a Pro Wrestling Illustrated ranking. Yes, that's my opinion. Okay. Okay. Well, Steve, did you wrestle in high school? Or if you didn't wrestle, did you turn out for track and field?
Neither.
Neither? Oh, okay. How
I was
about
more into...
Any sports at all?
More into football and basketball.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that you were a forward on your high school team, forward in basketball.
Yep.
Were you a big fan of Dennis Rodman, the Worm?
Not really.
Not really. I bet the most rebounds that you ever got in a game was 14. 14 rebounds, am I right?
It was something like that.
Aha, I knew it. Very good. Okay. Now, did you play wide receiver on your football team, and did you have natural speed for the wide receiver position?
Yes.
Whoa, you did. You played wide receiver. How many touchdown catches did you pass in? Did you catch in one game? Did you catch two or three?
I think the most I've caught was three or four. Yeah.
What's the hardest you ever got hit while coming across the middle?
Definitely, there was this one catch I made it in end zone, and I was just blindsided.
I see, blindsided. Did you ever suffer a concussion in high school football?
Nope.
Have you ever suffered a concussion in wrestling?
Yes.
Like more than one?
Two.
Okay. All right. Two. Did you ever have offers from many colleges after your high school football career was over?
Nope.
Okay. Well, Steve, if you could travel back in time and were given a choice, would you rather be in the NWO with Hogan and Razor Ramon, or be a member of the Hart Foundation?
Probably NWO.
Okay, NWO. Can you give us a reason why the NWO over the Hart Foundation?
NWO is just more my style.
Okay. Now, the Hart Foundation had a mascot in Matilda the Bulldog. Does anyone up in Alaska have a mascot?
Not that I know of.
I see. Do you ever foresee a future where Y period T period Jones would have a mascot? And if so, would that mascot be a potbelly pig or a peacock?
Probably not.
Probably no to the pig?
Yeah.
How about a Shetland pony?
Maybe.
All right, I'm going to put that down for maybe, and I'm going to contact Y period, T period about this. Okay, very good. All right, I think your wrestling up in Alaska needs a mascot. Who better not to have a mascot than Y period, T period?
Right?
Yes, I think he has the money available to afford one. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe not a thoroughbred racehorse from Kentucky, but maybe a Shetland pony or a goat, a pygmy goat. Yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, Steve, do you have a son or daughter that wants to follow in your footsteps?
No, but I do have a younger brother.
Oh, okay. Is he about the same size as you?
He's just a smidge taller, but not my build.
I see, not your build. Okay, does he also play high school football? Is he still in high school?
No, he's actually younger.
Oh, in junior high?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Can you give us the approximate height and weight of him in junior high? And is he in the eighth grade?
I believe he is in eighth grade. And I believe he is like 5'9", probably about 130.
Hey, now that's a pretty good size for an eighth grader. Not bad.
Yeah.
Now, does he play basketball in junior high?
I believe so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is he also a power forward?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, Steve, can you tell us about this Dickie Dastardly that J.D. Mason will face? Have you yourself ever wrestled Dickie Dastardly?
I haven't wrestled him, but I've teamed up with him.
Oh, as in tag team competition?
Yep.
What did you call yourself?
It was more of a alliance. We didn't have a tag team name. It was just more of a alliance.
Oh, okay. More of an alliance. Would you say that he brought the tenacity and the nastiness and maybe the strength while you brought the technicality and the speed? Would that be a fair assessment?
Yes. Yes, it would.
Wow. Okay. That's very good. Okay. Now, how are you going to be in this Dream 16 tournament coming up?
I don't think so.
I believe that takes place October 12th.
No.
Oh, you're not? Okay. All right. Well, Steve, it was good talking with you, and I hope you get to do that the homework assignments on the Motorhead songs that I gave you, And at this time, I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well, Stephen, one of the ways that professional wrestlers make money at this is merchandising themselves. We've seen everything from T-shirts to coffee mugs to stickers to hats, all sorts of merchandise out there. What would you say is some of the craziest merchandise that you have seen peddled at merchandise stands in Alaska?
Probably canisters.
Were they popular sellers?
Yes.
Now, do you yourself have a line of merchandise that Stephen Wolf fans can buy in order to support you?
I sell T-shirts and pins, but just at the shows.
So people got to come up to Alaska if they want their Stephen Wolf merchandise.
Yep.
All right, fair enough. Now, we talked earlier about why period T period Jones being a phenomenal manager, and he is, but there are a few other managers out there in Alaska, one of them being TJ Rock. She does a very, very good job at managing. She's done some announcing, some ring announcing, kind of a jack of all trades, fits in where she's needed, does well at all the roles.
Yep.
Since Alaska doesn't have a lot of managers, do you think that TJ Rocks might be someone that more wrestlers should consider helping them out with their managerial needs?
Most definitely. She actually has managed me before, and I couldn't ask for a better manager.
For sure. She's very, very good at what she does.
Yep.
Like I mentioned, she also does announcing. She does the ring announcing sometimes. She's a very good speaker. Do you think that enough people, maybe not even in Alaska, but just on the West Coast in general, utilize her ability to speak so well? Do you think that more places should be bringing her in whenever they need a job done that's verbal in nature?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yep.
Now, some wrestlers also have valets as opposed to managers. AK Lightning comes to mind. His valet, Honey LaCour, much more of a valet than a traditional manager. You don't see very many valets in Alaska either. I know that Honey LaCour can be devious when need be. Have you had many run-ins with her?
Me and AK Lightning have can cross paths a few times. And everyone, she's done something to put the favor into Lightning's favor.
What's the most diabolical thing that she's done to you so far?
I believe a distraction and then choke on the ropes.
Well, those chokes on the ropes can be devastating, speaking from experience.
Yep.
Now, traditionally, in a lot of places, there is an authority that is responsible for upkeeping the rules and regulations. Some places have a commissioner, some of them have a general manager, some companies have a president that is responsible for fining and suspending people that have infractions of the rules. Do you think that the promotions in Alaska, by and large, need to have someone overseeing the promotions in order to keep things on a level playing field and discourage all of these infractions of the rules?
Well, since no, I don't. I sometimes myself like to break the rules.
And what's the worst infraction of the rules that you personally have done?
Probably attack after the match.
That is definitely a clear violation of the rules.
Like you did to RJ.
Now, when you go after someone after the bell, what's the intended purpose? Are you looking to weaken them for the next match? Are you looking to take them out of the sport completely? Is it a psychological ploy? What's the end game with it?
Basically, when that happens, my thought is that I'm very prideful and a loss on my record needs a payback.
Fair enough. I'm sure in Alaska there are unique foreign objects used that maybe other wrestling promotions have not seen. What's the most unique foreign object you've seen a wrestler use in a match?
I believe it would be a toe chain.
Very interesting.
Yep.
Now, one of the rules I was told in preparation in going to Alaska myself was that if a moose comes into the venue, you are to stop the show until the moose decides to leave. Now, I myself have been on shows with Moose Morrow and also Mickey Moose Knuckles, who can knock a guy out with barely trying. How many times in your career have you encountered this show stops when a moose enters the venue rule?
Actually, none.
What do you think the response would be if you were in the middle of a match and a moose just walked in the door?
Probably my response would probably try to capitalize on my opponent from his stun of seeing the moose.
Now, have you ever come across Mickey Moose Knuckles before?
No.
She hits hard, very, very hard, really hard, just to give you fair warning. Well, Stephen Wolf, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to give you ample time. So if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything you'd like, social medias, merchandise, upcoming appearances, your favorite bowling alley, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
All right. I'm booked in two shows coming up. The first one will be July 20th, named Patriot Games at Anvets in Wasilla, Post 9. Another show I'm booked in is previous mentioned Up in Smoke on July 26th, that's the 49th State Wrestling Company. and that'll be in Healy, Alaska. You could find me on Facebook at Stephen Wolf. And also NSA Alaska Wrestling and 49th State.
All right. Well, Stephen Wolf, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to be with us. Hopefully it won't be so long in between times we share a locker room, and I look forward to the next time.
Thank you.
All right, fans up in Alaska, if you have not already done so, make sure you get out there and watch Stephen Wolf perform, one of the better performers you're going to find up there in Alaska, or for that matter on the West Coast. Very good at what he does, improving all the time. So get out there, support your local wrestling in Alaska. You do have some up there, and they work very, very hard. We will be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we have Diamond Dan Garza, and I'm hugely excited for that. And a week from today, Jack the Snack will be with us out of 321 Battle and CPW. So make sure you have plans to be with us, and we'll talk to you then.
I believe in